it really just one phrase in one verse here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. But before we get there, I do want to say thank you to the Berean Baptist Church for continuing our support and helping us keep things going in Brooklyn. People have said, wow, you're pastoring two churches. Yeah. But what we set out to do at the very beginning was see churches started. And I don't know if I've ever really, or if you've ever really heard the whole story of how we started, but the building department came by on Wednesday, November 15th, 2015. And with them came contractors and about $43,000 of protective measures because the building was literally falling apart. Bricks were falling into the neighbor's yard. A couple of tiles had fallen off the roof and went right through the window of the apartment building next door. And the inspector was walking by and a piece of wood about this long just fell off the cornice just as he was walking in front of the building. He said, I've had it. Closed the building, put up fencing around the front and scaffolding down the side. And the remaining trustee, only one man, was actually left from the Union Baptist Church. And he said, he called Brother Mike and said, are you guys still interested in saving the church? And Brother Mike called me. He said, I got a call. What are we going to do? I said, his name was Bill. I said, give me Bill's number. He came over on Thursday night to open door. Our midweek service is on Thursday. And I said, now, Bill, here's our problem. You have no members. You can't make decisions. You can't do anything legally. What we need is we need some members for the Union Baptist Church. He said, how do we do that? I said, well, I've already talked to your constitution and bylaws says we need 9 trustees. I've already talked to 9 members of the Open Door Bible Baptist Church who are willing to transfer their membership to the Union Baptist Church. He said, how do we do that? I said, say yes. He said, yes. And so now we had people. I said, okay, you've all been voted trustees of the church. Everybody agree? Yes. I said, then you need to vote me in as the senior pastor, Brother Neuberger as the assistant. And they did. And we wrote out all the minutes and stamped them with the official seal and went to the building department the next morning. And I said, I'm here as the new pastor of the church. And they were going, how new? Just a couple of hours. And they said, oh, so you bought the building. Where's the bill of sale? I said, no, we did not buy it. This is the most expensive free thing I have ever been involved in. We're about $460,000 and counting since that day in November. And we're not done yet. And we're not discouraged yet either. Amen. Because it's not our building. It's the Lord's. Those people came together all those years ago in May of 1847. And they believed in this book called the Bible. In fact, you know what I found out in their records? They did not have an ordained pastor until 1855. So they baptized at the First Baptist Church of Bedford-Stuyvesant, which was about a 20-minute cart ride away. They didn't have cars in 1855. Until that date, they would go over there because that church had an ordained pastor. Does that sound like Baptist baptism to you? It sounds like Baptist baptism to me. And if anybody has any questions, I'm the pastor, so we're just going to settle it. Amen? We want to do things the Bible way. They were doing things until that point, and I showed them the minutes signed by the new members of the church, and he said, what is this? I said, for your purposes, I said, what we've had is a corporate restructuring. I said, we have a new board of trustees, a new chairman of the board of trustees, a new pastor, and we're going to work through this problem. You know what they said to us? We've heard this before. I said, I know you've heard this before. I said, but what we need you to do is give us permission. At that point, the building was completely closed. Even to go onto the property was actually breaking the law. You could be arrested. I said, you need to let us on the property to fix the building. Are you at least willing to do that? And he says, okay, we'll rescind the full vacate order to a partial vacate order so that you can fix things. And we were driving here to Heartland, actually, a few weeks later, second week in January for the church planning conference. And I called up a preacher and I said, listen what we got here. And for the first time, I've known this preacher over 40 years, he said, do you need to borrow some money? Normally, it's the other way around. And I said, I certainly do. And we, on the phone, driving to Heartland, we opened door on a handshake over the phone. I don't know how that works, but we borrowed the first $50,000 toward fixing the building. And things progressed. It took us 2 years to reopen the building. And now the building has been open. We had to close from the last week in March to the last week in June because of COVID. But other than that, we've been holding services at the Union Baptist Church. And a verse that I like to quote is, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how close this church was to losing, and only God knows whether the candlestick was lost and relit, or maybe the embers kept burning over the years. Do we have time for one funny story? The church was saved by Muhammad Ali. And you're thinking of the boxer. Actually, he's a preacher. And he's about this tall. And he's from Guyana. His name is Muhammad Ali. And he had been attending services at Union back in the 1980s. And he was very frustrated because the only pastors that the Union Baptist Church had back then were fill-in pastors from the American Baptist Convention. So could you imagine how desperate shape a person would be if they couldn't fill a pulpit in the American Baptist Convention? I mean, that'd be a pretty miserable excuse for a preacher. I'm sorry, don't mean to demean them, but you don't have to know very much about the Bible to be a preacher in that organization. And he got frustrated and he went back home to Guyana to his pastor, and he got ordained and he came back and he started his own church in the building with the permission of the people. And they said, we like your preaching better than theirs. And so they told the American Baptist Convention to go away. And they met with the Greenpoint Baptist Church for the next 25 years. The American Baptist sent their representative back after about 10 years and said, we want our building back. And Brother Ali was there. He said, this isn't your building. I remember when you stopped sending us preachers and when you sent us very bad preachers to fill in for us. You don't own anything here. Get out of this building. It's not yours. If he hadn't been there, they would have stolen the property. That's the way things work. And so Muhammad Ali saved the Union Baptist Church. Amen. Then in 2015, when we restructured, the Union Baptist Church began holding services at the Open Door Bible Baptist Church. And the purpose of this was so that if anyone walked in and wanted a legal suit or problems, they would see people in an established church. And they would go away. And as far as we know, nobody did. Nobody bothered us during those 2 years. And then we were able to reassume, and Brother Neuberger took over, and as most of you know, in October he left, and I'm still the senior pastor, have been since 2015, and so we haven't missed a step, praise God. We haven't lost our investment. I go over there Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and preach the morning service at Union. My son-in-law is my music director. Of course, he's not paid for that at Open Door. He does that volunteer, and he teaches a Sunday school. And then my wife and I drive back to Open Door before our 11:15 morning service, and it works out very well. And then there's no evening service at Union right now, and their midweek is on Wednesday, and Open Door is on Thursday. So the services are actually the easiest part of what we're doing. We're still trying to get work done. If anybody would like to see it, we actually had a Christmas Eve service, joint service with Open Door and Union in the upstairs auditorium. Now, there's only two problems. No light, no heat. It was the warmest Christmas I can remember. And our neighbor loaned us two big 50-amp electric heaters. And we ran those things all day trying to warm the building up. And went on to Amazon. You can buy everything on Amazon except the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we got little lights and just set them in the pews on the side and shined them off the ceiling. And it looked like candlelight service. We hardly needed a PA at all. Just a little bit to boost my voice as I was preaching. All the music, the acoustics of the auditorium, they know how to build things in 1863. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful service. We had 11 visitors from the neighborhood. Now, they haven't been back, but at least we had them then. Amen? And with all of this COVID and all of this, one of the neighbors was walking by. Actually, she brought her whole family to the service. Said, "Are you guys holding a service?" And my church is doing nothing. I said, "We're having a Christmas Eve service in the upstairs auditorium, and we've got enough room to social distance half the neighborhood." Well, my son said, "Dad, you always exaggerate." But she knew what I was talking about. And she came, and we praised the Lord, and her family had a great time that night. We've added two members to the church since October. We praise the Lord for that, and we're up 40% in our attendance. We've got a long ways to go. But healing and spirit, people are singing again at the Union Baptist Church, and we're seeing the Lord work in some lives. And we need your prayers. We need a preacher for the Union Baptist Church. But average rent of a one-bedroom apartment is right about $2,000. Give you an idea, the next-door neighbor's renovating the building beside us. He just sold the third floor last summer. Now, the third floor is roughly about 4,500 square feet, so it's a big place. 5 million dollars for the third floor. Now, you need to pray that he sells the other four floors, because every time he sells one, he gives us a love offering. And so, and it helps. Right now, our project is, if you've ever seen any of the pictures, you've seen those big plaster moldings that come down the side and right up to the very height of the ceiling. Before we got the building, the water got in, the roof failed, and the integrity of that plaster has been compromised. As we were working those first 2 years, every once in a while you hear, kaboom, upstairs. And we go up and another chunk of plaster had fallen off, and we hadn't had any of that happen in months, so we thought we were safe for the Christmas Eve service, and we were. I went up there the next week and another piece had fallen down. I said, we got to get on this. And so we've set up our scaffolding and we've been working on the first one. We're going to take the plaster down and put a light up there in the fixture and put some molding and try to transition to the plaster. And my biggest prayer request is that when we're done, it won't look like I did it. All right? Would you pray with me about that? And we're trying to put a transition from plaster to polyurethane with a light running down the middle of it. And it looks okay at this point. But you never know how it looks until you get it all hooked up, and then it's too late to change. And so we got seven of those bows, or seven of those moldings to take down, fix, and we got to paint the ceiling while we're up there. And one of the reasons the work's been going slow, it's been too cold to paint. Praise the Lord, this week it's finally warm enough to paint. Because we don't want to take it down, put it up, take it down, put it up. It takes 2 days to get the platform 20 feet in the air, 40 feet long, in order to fix and work on the ceiling. So we believe that the Lord started this work. We believe He brought us into this building just like He did the synagogue at Open Door. We believe that He's the one that's in charge. And we're trying to follow. Somebody says, do you have a plan? Yeah, we're going to follow in the footsteps. Amen. And we're going to let the Lord take care of the plan, because none of us are that smart. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, this is just part of who we are, what we're trying to do, what we're asking you to pray for. Jesus tells the church here at Philadelphia, He says, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, the phrase I would like us to look at tonight is, hold that fast which thou hast. Hold that fast which thou hast. Jesus is talking to His church. And the church at Philadelphia was one of the two churches that had no condemnation. And Jesus only had good things to say about this church. And in fact, one of the reasons I love this letter is I don't know how great a job we've done. That's up to the Lord. But the name of our church in Queens, we started in 1992, the Open Door Bible Baptist Church, comes from this letter. Jesus said, I have set before thee an open door. And we prayed for years that God would open that door. And finally, He gave us a synagogue that had three front doors. And they're open for services. Amen. And we praise the Lord for that. And we're praying that the Lord will do this again at the Union Baptist Church. And the way that's going to work is not because of us. Every other year up until 2020, from 2004 till then, we have had the inner city missions class through Heartland Baptist Bible College in Oklahoma City. And that has been hosted at our church in Queens, where we bring the students up. Now we do it on spring break because we want to explain to them and at least give them information about how to start a church in an inner city, to what to see and to understand that God still works. And this, because of COVID and other things, Brother Copes was talking. He says, you know, Brother Montoro, in good conscience, I can't call our parents up and tell them I'm sending our students to New York City. I said, I get that. So what if we came down there during spring break? Would you? It was a done deal. And so we just finished the class Saturday morning. We're actually on our way back home. But here's what the whole thing is. Jesus told this church, He said, I want you to hold that fast which thou hast. Now, there's a great deal of encouragement in that statement, is there not? Because you can't hold something fast you don't have. And hold that fast. I mean, we could look it up in the Greek and we could look it up in any language. It's just get a hold of it. Amen. Don't let it go. How many of you remember the first $100 bill you got? Do you remember what that felt like? $100 bill today, almost worthless. Won't even pay a parking ticket sometimes. If you get towed, you're going to need five or six of them to get out from under that. But do you remember that time when the first time when you got one of those things and it was huge? And you were holding it there. And you stuck it in your pocket and you're afraid it was going to fall out of your pocket. So you stuck your hand in your pocket on top of that. And you were just holding on to that. How many remember that? Well, let me ask you a question. How tight are we holding on to that which we have? You know, we live in a world where everywhere we turn, they want us to let go. You cannot say things against people who are morally deviant without incurring wrath and punishment. And let me tell you something. They're going after our military people. They want to go after our churches. They want to take those things. And the Bible says that we're to hold that fast. Now, if we want the specific and the absolute most correct application and interpretation of what that is referring to, we've got to back up a little bit and look at this letter to the church. Amen? And so Jesus tells this church in verse 7, He says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Now, let me ask you a question. To this point, is there anything that the church has that they can hold on to? Is there any part of that that we've described yet? Now, who opened the door? Jesus did. So that's not the church's job. The open door, that's Jesus' job. He said, "I know thy works." That's what they've already done. So we don't have anything to hold on to yet. But now we do. "For thou hast..." Okay, here we got something they got. What do they have? A little strength. Now, I want to give a warning here to all you young men. Because there comes a time somewhere where that awkward teenage... starts kicking in and you start growing fast and you're going to feel like you're really strong. Now, if you've done this already, don't tell me about it, all right? But how many of you are old enough to remember getting a hold of something that was too big to get a hold of? Oh, yeah. So take warning. Now, Jesus tells this church, He said, "You have a little strength." You know what happens when you know that you have a little strength? you have to rely on someone else's strength to get the job done. Amen? And so he's telling this church, you've got to hold on to something. Don't ever get past the fact that we have little strength. You know, somebody tried to, and again, I don't want to preach against somebody here or anything. They say this is the church in revival, but I want to question that because a church in revival does not have a little strength. A church in survival mode has a little strength. And I think I can speak on little strength. Because that's our work in the city. That's the Union Baptist Church. That's still Open Door Bible Baptist Church. And the Morris Park Bible Baptist Church. Those are the three churches we're working with right now. And we praise the Lord. Open Door is self-supporting, has been since the year 2000. The other two churches, Union has not had a paid pastor from 1954 until 2015. And the only reason that pastor was paid is because you were paying the bill, not them. And right now, we're taking any support that comes in and we're trying to get the building in a shape so that we can keep our insurance and so that we can start making plans and keep the upstairs and make the building safe and keep the building department out of the picture. Amen. And so we're working on those things. But it says, hold fast that which thou hast. That includes a little strength. Because if you ever get thinking that you do have strength, you're in more trouble than you'll ever know how to get out of. Can we say amen to that? If you ever start trying to get God's work done, you're going to be, with your strength, you're going to find out it doesn't work. He said, thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Now, is that something that we can work on? Is that something we can get a hold of? Keeping this word. You know, it's not a complicated thing. If the first sermon series I did as taking over the preaching responsibilities at the Union Baptist Church was on Sunday mornings to take them through the book of Galatians. Is because there are just things in that book that help a troubled church understand who they are and what they're trying to do. And Paul keeps reminding them in those first few verses and all the way through the book, there's only one gospel. And if you alter that any bit, it's no longer the gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel. It's an imitation of the gospel. But if you alter that, if you change it, and then Paul goes on in the strongest words in all the scripture, he said, if we or an angel come back and teach anything different than what you already have, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, let him be accursed. Now, you say, why did Paul put an angel in there? Well, the Bible wasn't complete yet. And much of our Old Testament, angels had to deal with that. And who was Paul? He was God's sanctioned apostle. Now, Brother Boonster would know this far better than I. But how many men have stood up over these years who were at one time God-sanctioned preachers no longer preach what's in this book. Paul said, if I come back and I change something, you're not to listen to me. You understand that the authority is right here in this book, in the words of God, nowhere else, plus nothing, minus nothing. If you're going to hold fast that which thou hast, he said, you have a little strength, and you've kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Now that's a tough one. People call the prayer that Jesus gave the disciples to learn how to pray, they call that the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm one of those people, I love to just nitpick at things. I do. It's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, and be careful, because if you quote what you were taught as a kid, it's not the one in your Bible. They change the words. But what was the first thing Jesus taught the disciples to pray for? Our Father, which art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. What did he tell this church here? He said, you have a little strength, you've kept my word, and you haven't denied my name. How do we deny the name of Jesus? I'll tell you, one of the ways churches deny the name of Jesus is by compromising on the baptistry, is by changing their name, is by laying aside doctrines that Jesus taught. Jesus wasn't some sissy that stood there and said, oh, it's okay, guys, everything's fine. He made a whip of cords and drove the money changers out of the temple. Do you remember what he told the rich young ruler? He said, sell all that thou hast, give it unto the poor, and follow me. Jesus wasn't going, now, if you would just sell everything he had and give it away and follow me, it's okay. No. He was speaking the voice of the authority of God. He was ripping that man's soul by the roots out of the ground that held it in disbelief. And the man put the roots back in because he wasn't going to give up what he had to follow Jesus. You see, we've got to be careful, because it's easy to deny his name. When we hold hands with people who don't believe the truth, when we accept baptism from churches that don't teach what the Bible says, what we're doing is we're saying they're exactly the same as we are. And we're denying his name. You say, do you preach like this in New York City? Yes, I do. Do I make people mad? Yes, I do. Do people think that I think only Baptists are going to heaven? I've been accused of that, and I always remind them. I said, that is not true, because most of the Baptists aren't going to make it either. Only those that have been born again by the blood of Jesus are going to heaven. And if you're born again by the blood of Jesus and you don't have it right and you messed up the church you attend, you know what? I can't straighten you out, but God's going to be one day, because when we get to heaven, we're all going to agree. We're all going to be conformed to that image of Christ. I just want to get as much done while I'm here as I can, so there's as little bit of adjustment as possible when I get over there. Amen? It's like getting married. Some people, when they get married, their whole world caves in. And it takes a long time to sort it all out. I'll tell you, I love what happened the day I got married. My wife and I, we just took the next step together. And have been for over 32 years. 12 kids, 8 grandkids, and counting. And it gets scary after a while. But I'll tell you this. You can work on having a little strength. You can work on keeping his word. You can hold on to. And I want to tell you, when I was a Bible college graduate, when I got out and got into the ministry, I didn't have what I have now. If it hadn't been for Brother Larry Clayton training me in the ministry, and Brother Roy Thompson letting me know which way the the cookie crumbled, or however you want to put it that way. I mean, he preached the word in a very strong, emphatic way. There was just no arguing what the Bible says. Today at lunch, I got to spend a little bit of time with Brother Jett, the professor down at Heartland. He was telling me a little of his story, how that he had grown up and finished Bible college and was even pastoring a church and really didn't have some of these things settled. He said, then God moved me up to another area, and he said, man, those preachers were straight and they were strong and they helped me see the truth. I'm thankful. Don't ever take for granted the heritage that God has given you in this church. You have a little strength. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. Now, verse 9, here we go. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Don't get mad when the religious crowd ridicules you for believing in Jesus. Hold on to it. Grip it a little tighter. You know, it used to be somebody would say, how do you form an opinion on a political issue? I said, that's really simple in New York. If our governor's for it, I'm against it. And you know what? I haven't been wrong yet. You know, if the devil's crowd loves it, then I'm not going to. You know, people who call themselves religionists, people who call themselves the great elites and the greatest minds, hey, they've already ignored that little strength. They've thrown out his word. They've compromised his name. And why wouldn't they ridicule you who are trying to do these things? Embrace it, my friend. Don't run away from it. One preacher friend of mine said, they tell me I'm very narrow-minded. He said, I say, thank you very much. Because the narrow way leads unto life. And I'd much rather be on that one than the other one. How about you? Amen. This is that we need to hold fast to. This is what he told the church. And he said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, in verse 10, that's the next thing there. Now, what's the word of his patience? How about, wow. I'm not old enough to have senior moments, but I'm having one right now. So let's go to Matthew 28. I'm not going to misquote this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now verse 20, here we go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Does that sound like the word of my patience? It does to me, because you're not going to get that done in a day. You're not going to get it done in a week. You're not going to get it done in a year. You're not going to get it done in a lifetime. God's word hasn't changed. His commandments, those things that Jesus taught his disciples. Do you realize that the churches in Galatia had everything they needed to be the right kind of church? Excuse me. And Paul had only been there, some of those churches, less than a month. And left them in that infantile state, and yet they had everything they needed to be a New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church that Jesus is speaking to here in the book of Revelation. How much more do we have? But you know, we're not into innovation. We're into obedience. Kept the word of my patience. These are the things that we have. They are already in our possession. We don't need to go out and find these things. Now, I'm ashamed to admit that I had to. After Bible college and being trained and starting in the ministry, nobody had sat me down and showed me these things. But I praise God that He took care of the little strength and the little brain. We really are preachers of little brain, are we not? Wasn't that Winnie the Pooh? Something like that. But I'll tell you this. If you'll follow the Lord, He'll have the people there that will bring you into the way, because it's not hard to find. It's not hard to explain. And as we follow those things, it says, hold that fast. Now, how many of you have ever experimented with crazy glue? That's fast. If you do a good enough job, you got to go to the hospital and they got to cut it apart. That's because it's fast. It's immovable. It's done. So be careful with the crazy glue, all right? But Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. We don't know when He's coming. He said, that is the impetus. That is the reason that we're supposed to hold that fast. And that is the things that He gave this church. The church already had everything they needed. He just said, get in there. Don't let go. Make a bond. Fuse it together so it can't come apart. And the last part of that verse is a warning. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Well, there's a lot of men out there looking to take that crown. Some young moon several years ago was running around. I love this clock. I cannot read it for my... I'm going to get one out I can read. Okay, I'll get you out of here before 9, I promise. I have to drive past St. Louis tonight if I'm going to get home tomorrow. So, no, I'm just teasing. We're almost done. There's a Sung Young Moon several years ago wrote Sunday school material and sent out his people into Baptist churches and Lutheran churches and everybody that was out there trying to get them to buy his Sunday school material and use it so that he could claim that he was the leader of all these churches of all these faiths. I'm sad to tell you here today that there were some independent Baptist churches that bought on to that. You know why? Because it didn't say anything. Somebody said, oh, it's just like children's material. Well, I want to challenge you that when we teach children, maybe we ought to teach them what's in the Bible. And remind them that baptism is serious business. It's identification with Jesus Christ and His church. Nothing wrong with that. Amen? I mean, one of the things we covered in the inner city missions class is how do you teach people who English is not their first language? Said, you slow down. And you make it simple. But you don't remove content. You buy them a dictionary. You make sure that they can understand what you're saying. And that may mean you have to go over it a couple of times. But is there anybody in this room that raised their hand and say, I got everything first time through? So we could all use a little bit of that, couldn't we? And when we're helping other people, it kind of sounds like the word of my patience, doesn't it? I'm so glad you don't know who I was when I was a Bible college student. And I'm so glad that there were some preachers that had some patience with me and helped me become the man of God that God wanted me to be. And we're just going to keep moving a footstep at a time. If that means preaching to two churches, well, we're going to do it. If that means God sends somebody in who's going to take the pastorate, but I'll tell you this, we don't need somebody that's going to be there for 6 months. That's not going to help us. We need somebody who's going to be there for the rest of their life, who's willing to work and live and die serving God right there according to His will. So pray for us about that. I don't think we're going to find somebody like that in 6 weeks. But as my son said, he was looking for a wife. He said, "Dad, we live in New York City. They're not parachuting in." He married a girl who's a missionary family from Guam. It was close, but she actually got on a plane, not a parachute. Amen. And the Lord is capable of getting the job done. It's His door that He's opened for us. Amen? And you know what? All He says is grab a hold and don't let go till I come back. Because if you don't, I'm going to catch you unawares when I come back. And those that lie in cunning craftiness waiting to deceive are going to steal from you that which Jesus Christ wants to give you. But I'll tell you, if you got it good and tight, God says, you're going to finish the course. Read the rest of that later. We don't have time tonight. But the point I just wanted to bring forth, what Lord laid on my heart tonight, was hold that fast, which thou hast. We got it. It's there. It's already in our possession. It's a gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. All He wants us to do, grab a hold. And like I tell people when I'm driving in New York City, hold on. Amen. And we'll let the Lord take care of the rest. And all God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this night. And Lord, we're thankful for what's in Your Word. And we're thankful for our time together. And Lord, I know this sermon has been primarily to those that are saved in our auditorium here tonight. But Lord, once again, we would just, with all of the weariness with the COVID and the regulations, all of the assaults on truth and righteousness that we face right now, that You would help us just to grab a hold a little tighter, to realize that we already have everything that we need to serve You. And Lord, that You would find us holding on when You come. We ask You to work, be glorified in Your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have the hymn of invitation. If you need to come and pray, the altar's open.
much, Brother Montoro, for the message. I'll let you all remain. You be seated for just a second. Pastor texted me. We, in the spirit of wanting to do everything decently and in order, Pastor asked me to baptize tonight Isaac, but we want to make sure that the church has conferred that authority appropriately, so there's no question about that. So we're going to have a vote to give me the authority to baptize Isaac on behalf of the church this evening. It is the church that baptizes, obviously, but we want to make sure that you as a church agree with that and conferring that authority. I mean, obviously, that's conferred on the pastor, very obviously, as the pastor of this church, but not necessarily on me as one of the deacons. And so we're going to just have a vote right now. So if you want to agree to having me baptize, just raise your right hand. Amen. Any opposed? Okay, I think we're good to go. Okay, so Brother John, why don't you come ahead, and we'll lead the church in a song, and I'll try to squeeze into those waiters of preachers.
Then maybe we should have a time of prayer first. just kidding. Hymn 223 in your Rejoice Hymnal.